In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel text for this day, St. Peter opens his mouth to ask a question of our Lord. Now, those of us who know the scriptures and especially the gospels well, we know that St. Peter has kind of a track record. Oftentimes, when he opens his mouth, he maybe says something that he regrets. We can think case in point of the time right after Peter has made the great confession of who Jesus is, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus has to rebuke him for Peter basically putting his foot in his mouth. And Jesus tells him, "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but rather you have in mind the things of men." With this in mind, and of course knowing about Peter's denial of our Lord and several other instances where Peter says something that he probably shouldn't, when we hear St. Peter open his mouth and ask our Lord a question, we expect that he is going to get rebuked, because Peter has this tendency to ask things that are stemming from some sort of sinful or prideful issue at its core. And so, when Peter asks our Lord, "See, we have left all and followed you, therefore what shall we have?" we expect Jesus to respond in rebuke. And yet he does not. In fact, our Lord responds in compassion and understanding. And this should maybe tell us something about St. Peter, that maybe Peter didn't get it wrong all of the time. Maybe Peter's motivation here is not a motivation filled with sinful pride, but rather, his motivation for asking this question seems to be filled with weariness. "See, we have left all and followed you. What shall we have? Is all of this really worth it?" Kind of question, that sense of weariness of the things of this world is probably not foreign to any one of us here. The older you get, the more life experience you have, the more weary you feel of the things of this world. And that question, "Is all of this really worth it?" is a question that no doubt each one of us has asked at one point or another as we try to come to terms with all of those things that we have suffered in this life, whether it is something we have suffered in the past, something that we are suffering in the present, or some anxiety about a future suffering that we might endure. We've all asked that question: is all of this really worth it? We should take comfort in the fact that our Lord responds to St. Peter in the way that he does. He does not chastise him and he does not rebuke him. He responds in compassion, but he responds with the truth. And so our Lord's response to St. Peter, beginning in verse 28 of the gospel text, makes it clear that suffering will be a part of the Christian life. That is true. But spoiler alert, it is all worth it in the end. Now, this idea that suffering is a part of the Christian life is a fitting truth to reflect on this day as we commemorate the Apostle Paul. We heard read in our first reading for this day that wonderful, mysterious conversion that the man known as Saul in that text, who we know as Paul, underwent. He was the most zealous of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, as he described himself to the Philippians, persecuting this way that he thought was dead wrong. And then the Lord Jesus sought him out. As Paul was on his way to go arrest the Christians in Damascus, the Lord Jesus intervened. He appeared to Paul, and he converted him in a miraculous way. So much so, in fact, that Ananias, the man who was a few days later sent to go lay his hands on Paul so that he might regain his sight, so much so that Ananias kind of doubted the sincerity of Paul's conversion, and he was concerned that he was going to go lay his hands on Paul, Paul would regain his sight, and then he would be arrested. But Christ spoke directly to Ananias and revealed something to him about St. Paul that is quite important for us to recognize, because it's not only true for Paul, but it is also true for us. There in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, the Lord said to Ananias about Paul, "I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Suffering is a part of the Christian life, both for the Apostle Paul and for us. Some of the things that we suffer in this life are sufferings that we must embrace, sufferings that we must choose, things that we must give up and therefore undergo a suffering for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Christ. Our Lord enumerates a number of such things in verse 29 of our text when he talks about those who have left behind houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake. All these sorts of things may be things that you are called to give up. They may be things that you have given up already. Maybe you've left behind a house or a home, a career, a place that you were rooted. But for one reason or another, you have left that behind because it wasn't fulfilling, it wasn't encouraging you in your Christian walk, and so you've left that behind for the sake of following Christ. Maybe it's family, brothers or sisters, father or mother, wife or children. Now, this seems like the cardinal sin to 21st century American culture, to leave behind family, because there is nothing that binds people together more in the American thought than the blood that runs through our veins and the DNA that we share with our family members. And yet we Christians know that there is a deeper and greater bond that can be had, and it is the bond that we have in Christ. It is a bond that we share in our life together as Christians. And sometimes, tragically, we are forced to leave behind those who are our blood relatives for the sake of our new family in Christ. Our Lord says that some also leave behind lands, a homeland, a hometown. They must travel and go somewhere new, as Abraham did. And this is difficult. It's a hard thing to have to do, but it is necessary for some to willingly give these things up, to embrace suffering for the sake of Christ. But sometimes the suffering that we undergo as Christians is not something that we necessarily choose. So often, suffering happens to us. There are things out of our control that cause us to suffer. Again, Paul is the perfect and the classic example of this. He enumerates for the Corinthian congregation in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 all of the various sufferings that were inflicted upon him. He writes, "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. The Apostle Paul underwent physical pain. He was stranded and in danger so often. Many sleepless nights. Weariness and toil was characteristic of so much of the apostle's life. Most of these things were things that Paul could not control. Suffering that happened to him through no control, through no fault of his own. We know all about that. We know what it's like to have that physical suffering and pain, the debilitating illness, the diagnosis of cancer. We know what it's like to have that sleeplessness characterizing so much of our lives because of responsibility over others, whether it's because of sickness or poor choices or whatever the case may be, those sleepless nights seem to never end. We know what it's like to be mistreated by others. We know what it's like to stand by and suffer as we watch a loved one suffer and die. Suffering is a part of the Christian life. And it leads us to ask that question, is all of this really worth it? Yes. Yes, it is worth it. Because suffering is the way of the kingdom. Suffering is the way of the Christian. Not as some kind of punishment. But first and foremost, suffering is a part of the Christian life because suffering is a part of what it means to be a human. Because the sin that is a part of this world, suffering is inevitable. You will suffer whether you're a Christian or whether you're not. The difference is all of it really worth it? For a non-Christian, for an unbeliever, their suffering is not worth it because they have no hope, no future to look forward to, no meaning that can be found in that suffering, try as they might. Yet for us Christians, suffering does have a purpose. For us Christians, our suffering has meaning because Christ gives it meaning. Christ himself has suffered on our behalf. He entered into our sinful human flesh, taking upon himself all of our sin, taking upon himself all of the frailties and the difficulties of being a human. And Christ Jesus, our Lord, went to the cross, undergoing the ultimate suffering at the hand of the Romans, and then he was crucified. He suffered and died. But Christ's suffering had meaning, because he went to the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as the atoning sacrifice for your sin and mine. And because Christ has suffered for us and given up his life on our behalf, he gives us a promise, the inheritance of eternal life, that hope that we have, which gives our suffering meaning. And so it is that because of Christ's suffering for us, our suffering indeed does have meaning, not because our suffering is identical to Christ's, that somehow our suffering earns our salvation or pays off a debt of sin, as in the concept of purgatory. That is not true. That is not scriptural. But our suffering does have meaning. Because in our suffering, we are joined to Christ. St. Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. In your suffering, you are joined to Christ. Through your suffering, the Lord is at work to make you into a new kind of person, the kind of person who trusts in him alone. And so, my friends, this is the consolation for you in your weariness of this world. Suffering is not the end. Your suffering has meaning. And your suffering has meaning in two ways. First, suffering teaches us not to cling to the things of this world. This was the content of our collect for this day, where we prayed to the Lord, "We beseech you, O God, that we might not cling to the things of this world, but be made inheritors of eternal life." This sin-filled world is not our home. We await the new heavens and the new earth that our Lord Jesus Christ will return to restore. That is our home. And so suffering teaches us to look forward to that day. But also, suffering has meaning in this life, before eternity arrives. Note that our Lord says, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." The other evangelists, St. Mark and St. Luke, add a little phrase in here to clarify what our Lord means. "Everyone who has left these things behind for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold in this life and inherit eternal life." There is a blessing. There is a gain to be had, even in this life, through suffering. We receive 100-fold as we walk together in faith. Many of you were able to witness this firsthand through our dear sister Gail, who passed away this week. Her sufferings strengthened each one of us who knew her. And the feeling was mutual. She said again and again, "Each one of you that cared for her helped to strengthen her faith." There is a blessing that we have in walking together in this life, that the Lord strengthens us and gives us 100-fold, far beyond what we could ever ask for or imagine, even in this life, as we await the inheritance of eternal life. So, my friends, in your weariness, be encouraged. Suffering is necessary, but it is only temporary. It's not the end. Your suffering has meaning. Is all of this worth it, you may ask? Yes. Yes, it is. Christ is forming you into his image. He is preparing you for the joys of eternal life. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.